Good day. I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. A bill providing states with $16 billion to help cover Medicaid payments in 2011 is now law. President Obama signed the measure soon after final passage by the House. We discuss that and more today with Jennifer Habercorn of Politico and Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
What is the significance of the bill to the states?
Well, state governors, both Democrats and Republicans, have been pushing for this additional funding. They said they've had to make job cuts and budget cuts, and they would have had to make more if it hadn't come through. So I think there'll be a big sigh of relief on their part that, as you note, the bill has passed and it become law, that they're going to get this aid that they've been counting on, and many have already put it in their state budgets.
But originally, they wanted even more.
That's
so
right.
What will happen to the Medicaid programs because of the gap between what was originally proposed and in some cases budgeted for and what was now appropriated?
Well, at one point earlier, as you note, the bill had proposed as much as $24 billion in Medicaid funding. But again, this continuous conversation of how do you pay for things, how do you have it fully financed, brought it down to $16 billion. So I think that states may still have to make some cuts, some reductions. We'll wait and see what that means. And also, we have to keep our eye on the economy. As we know, when people lose their jobs, they lose their health care coverage, they go to Medicaid. Where will those Medicaid rolls be in the next 6 months? How much might they increase? Maybe they'll decrease if the economy improves. I think it's something that bears watching.
Jennifer, one of the things I found so interesting was that the administration and Democrats on the Hill as well positioned this bill as a jobs bill. I don't think I heard the president utter the word Medicaid. Why not?
That's right. It really, Medicaid kind of got swept under the table, even though it was a huge portion of this bill, and it all became about teachers and saving teachers and saving jobs. I think the majority leader, Harry Reid, has been talking about every bill as a jobs bill. The speaker has been saying the same thing. Every bill is a jobs bill. And I think there's a little bit of health fatigue, and Medicaid is a touchy issue with the states. I think that was part of the reason for that. But also, it's all about the economy and jobs in the election, and I think we're seeing that as health plays a smaller role.
As we know, there were some primary elections yesterday in a number of states. Did we get any clue about how health care reform is playing in the states, given the election results?
I think we have a couple small clues in some of the previous primaries. We saw that the candidates the White House was backing won, which it goes against what we had seen in previous primaries. Good sign for them.
In Colorado, you're talking
Colorado,
about Michael Bennett.
That's right. And I think also we're seeing that health isn't playing the huge role that we were maybe expecting back in March and April when Republicans and Democrats were both saying, you know, we're going to be campaigning on this. Republicans were saying, we're going to get everyone out of office that passed this bill. And Democrats were saying, we're going to be campaigning on this. We're proud of what we passed. We're proud for doing X, Y, and Z. But now we're seeing that it gets closer to the election, that it's scaling back. We're not seeing that as much as it, like I said, as it becomes more about jobs.
Are you hearing Republicans talk anymore about actually trying to defund the measure?
I think they're going to be talking about that through the election because that's really all that they can do. They would, of course, love to repeal it, but that's not even a possibility for a number of years. So I think their message is going to be, if you elect us, we will defund it.
This time last year, in August, lawmakers were coming home to very angry electorates, holding town meetings, hearing about these so-called death panels. Is the tone very different for lawmakers in their home districts now, Mary Agnes?
The lawmakers I've been talking to have said that the conversation on health has shifted from should we do this to how is this going to work for me? People have very specific questions, whether it's the provision about keeping their children up to age 26 on their health insurance policies or what it means for Medicare. They are really, really focusing in on specifics on health. And then again, the bigger issue at these town hall meetings now seems to be the economy. People are worried about if they haven't lost their job, will they lose their job? They know their neighbors lost their job. Where's the economy going? What is Congress doing to help or maybe hurt, in their opinion, the economy? And I think the conversation has really shifted. Members I've been talking to just don't anticipate a lot of the carnival atmosphere, if you will, from last year's town hall meetings when people were really, the healthcare issue was spiraling out of control and it was a very explosive. They don't get that. They don't have that feeling that's going to be the case this year.
And for lawmakers who supported the healthcare reform bill, this August they could come home and actually talk about some so-called deliverables. the seniors getting $250 checks if they hit the donut hole. What else is out there that lawmakers can tout if they choose to?
Yeah, there's a whole series of provisions, as you guys know, that go into effect September 23rd. They've really been pushing. The donut hole, keeping your kids on your insurance till age 26, a ban on denying kids for pre-existing conditions. I think we're really going to see them kind of hammering home those points. But I think it's interesting that they're getting questions not only on how does this affect me, they're very specific. They're saying, you know, I have a 25-year-old kid. How does this affect me? But also, Tom Perriello in Virginia got a question at a town hall recently saying, my premiums went up 30%. Why isn't the law helping me yet? Mm-hmm. So I think that shows that Democrats really own the law now and own health. So if someone's premiums are going up, even if it's unrelated to the law, they have to take responsibility for that now. And Perriello's response was kind of interesting. It was, you know, yeah, that's going to happen, but we needed this law and it's going to do all these other good things.
And over time, it'll help you reduce your costs. I mean, that's the promise of the health reform for people who may not, they're not going to be in the Medicaid expansion. They're not going to get a subsidy to buy coverage on the exchange. They may not have a child to age 26. They may not be an early retiree who would benefit. The hope is over time that your premiums will cost less. We'll have to see if that actually happens.
One last quick question, Mary Agnes. Congress is out through Labor Day weekend. When they come back, what do they face in terms of health care policy legislation?
Well, I think it'll be pretty quiet on health care policy. Of course, one thing that we have talked about in previous sessions here is talking about the COBRA extension. Would COBRA be extended for people who've lost their jobs since June the 1st? Proponents of the bill still hope they can attach it, much as Medicaid was attached to this jobs package. It's unclear if that will happen. I think that will still be there. But there are a lot of other issues I think Congress will be focused on rather than health. But that certainly doesn't stop any member of Congress, especially a Republican that opposed the bill, going to the floor to talk about the individual mandate, going to the floor to talk about how this impacts Medicare. It'll still be part of the conversation. I'm not sure you'll see legislation moving on any particular health area.
Okay. Thank you both very much, Jennifer Habercorn and Mary Agnes Carey. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd.